Yeah, okay, so good morning, everybody. It's the opening shiur today of Masechet Beitza. Before we actually start and sink our teeth into the Mishnah, a brief introduction, and that is there's some people who don't refer to it as Beitza, but refer to it as Be'ah. So what's that all about? Where's that from? What does it mean? What's the source? So I'm going to prove to you, I think this is pretty conclusive, from two different places, how to call the Masechet. So, I'm actually going to start with a quote-unquote more modern one. And this is the Likutim of Masechet Beitza. It's found in the Yachinim Boys Mishnaya at the bottom. So, I don't, it's not whatever, it's not in this version of it. But at the bottom of the classic Mishnaya, there's like these Yalkutim. Which, to be honest, I actually don't even know who wrote it. But, okay, are you ready? I'll read it to what he says here. So he says here, listen to this. Masechet Beitza, Odot Hashem Hazeh. First of all, by the way, why is it called Masechet Beitza? So the Gemara, the Mishnah begins, Beitza Shinal Dabi Yamta. But the truth is, a lot of times, the Rishonim don't refer to Beitza as Masechet Beitza, they refer to it as Masechet Yamta. I.e. they don't choose the first word or the second word, but because primarily the focus of this Masechet is in fact Hilchot Yom Tov, so they refer to it as Yom Tov. For example, Masechet Shabbos. The first word isn't Masechet Shabbos. The first word isn't Shabbos of the Mishnah. It's Arba Rishit. It's not. It takes a long time to get the word Shabbos, right? Where as opposed to the Parsha, usually it's like the first or second word is referred to as the Parsha. When it, unless it's like Vayidaber Hashem Moshe L'Emor, right? Tzav, B'nei Yisrael, right? So, but what's interesting, when it comes to Mishnayot, Masechtot, it's not quite the same. It's a different, they're not as Makbir on calling it by one of the first two words, good morning, and Mazel Tov, right? So, that's the question, how does it work? So, you got engaged couples ago. So we're dealing with how to call the Masechet, because Beitza or Be'ah, that's a, you've heard that before, right? So I'm reading to you from these Likutim, so he says the following, he quotes the, ready, Birshuti Latchil, Bi'ur HaMasechet, Homeret Negdenu. I want to start off by saying, I want to explain it. Niskarti Mashkatav HaMagin Avraham. So he quotes the Magin Avraham in Simon Kuf Nun Vav, in the name of the Rashal. So this is Magin Avraham, 17th century, who's quoting the Rashal, who's, 100 years prior or so. Shelo yomar adam b'talmud beitzim ela be'im. You shouldn't refer to it as beitzim ela be'im. V'u b'chlal omram zal. He says, what's it based on? Chazal say, al yotzi adam davar mugunem yipiv. Persian says, same thing inappropriate. And he quotes the Yamsho Shlomo. V'tame ani. I'm shocked. I'm astounded. Why? How you gonna tell me that Targum, the Aramaic, Yehe Mushubach Mufar your term Lashon HaKodesh? The word Beim, by the way, the word Beim just means Beitzim, but it's Aramaic. So asks the Likutim, I don't understand something. You're gonna choose an Aramaic word over a Hebrew word? After all.
And also it's the same word.
It's the same word. It's just a translation. You're gonna tell me that Aramaic is more Meshubach from Lashon HaKodesh. V'hine targund mila beitzim hubeyim. Ech nifcha lashon arum ve'erva lashonot haloziot. He says, we use the term arum, naked, erva, right? Amakom erva is a place, right, of a place that's a sexual place of some sort on a person's body. V'naz of lashon arumim, we're going to stop using the word naked. Hulashon Kodesh, Hazakev Nekiya, which is much more profound, much cleaner, much more pure, or whatever, right? V'nachnu Matzinu, and we even see that Chazal comment on Gemara and Shabbos, Al Shalosh Averos Nashim Mesos Yotam. We know that we say it, B'madikin, Al Shoshazvin Nashim Metod B'shat Nidatan. What are the three things that women die from when they're about to give birth? It's a mission. But we know the three because what are the three Mishnahs?
We said Friday night.
We said Friday night. We said it quickly. I don't even know what we're saying.
Nida.
Halakas Neros. Halakas Neros and Farsas Chala, right? Three things that were not, if women are not careful with, they could die during Shiloh. But here's the other thing. There's actually a fourth one that didn't make it into the list. Yesh Omrim, this is totally out of left field, but it's actually one that's connected to our topic. Al Shekorim La'aron HaKodesh Arona. Arna, Arona. That people who call Arona Kodesh, not an Arona Kodesh, but Aleph Resh Nun Aleph. Meaning, the Aramaic word for the Hebrew. Upashatinyan Bazah, ki Arna hu lashon bebavli. And he says the word Arna is the Aramaic word for the word Aron. You should use, meaning, what's the mission saying? They're saying, and there's a fourth one, meaning those people who call things not with the Hebrew name, with the Aramaic name, is Mbamish, a Mishnah. Or I think it's a price, I think it makes sense, right? Says, you're using a terminology. It's like you're choosing, like, why would you use a minor league term? Use the major league term, right? Farm system term. Okay. He says, in any time, you'd maybe sometimes see in Chumash a term which is Gnai, which is, so sometimes they'll flip around and make it Shevach. Here's a few examples. Ishacher, Ishagelna, right? In Dvarim by the Kitavo, we say Ishagevna. And so he uses another couple of examples. Instead of Ba'afulim, we say Techorim. Different examples that we use. Different words that perhaps are, shall we say, cleaner or not as negative. And he says, we search it the Shevach. K'deshelo Yotzia Adam Dvar Mugunah. And then he says, but even that, he said, one of the reasons why we call Lashon HaKodesh, Nikra Lashon HaIvrit, Lashon HaKodesh, Lishakul HaKodesh. There ain't but Devar Meguneh. So there is nothing derogatory in Lashon HaKodesh. Sharei Lo Hunach Ba Shem Yuchai. We don't see them changing the name for a raya, for an erva, of an ish, or an isha. We don't see them ever doing that, etc., etc. Okay. Then he goes on to say that we see many cases they use the word beitzim without changing it at all. Okay, and he quotes an example about, yeah. Okay, there he goes. Anyways, he goes on and on and on about to prove how the correct pronunciation should be beitzim and how it should not be beya. He says it's inappropriate. Now that's a great. I'm going to show you another proof, which to me, this was the proof that I was showed to me many years ago. Open up to the first half. Very simple. Rabbeinu Hananel, who's very, really Rishon. Look what he says. Look how he introduces his Masechet. Read it. Take a little poem. He says, Atchil Masechet Beitza Bezrat Gadol Ha Eitza. Now, what rhymes with Beitza? Eitza. If Rabbi Hananel would have felt it was inappropriate, he would have used a different word to rhyme. So, there's a good proof.
You could say that now
Beitza
has a more negative connotation or association than it did then, no?
I don't know. Because of the male organ?
Yeah.
Again, but that's, that could be modern. But just because something is modern doesn't mean you don't use... Because of that, you change the Lashon HaKodesh. You change the words of the Tanaim.
You use a different word. You use a synonym.
But again, you're going to like use an Aramaic word instead of Lashon HaKodesh.
It doesn't have the same association.
But again, but it should be the same word. What was that?
That's called, that has an Aramaic name.
What was that, sorry?
You know the Gemara that has an
Aramaic name? Yeah, why would you? Well, again, you're trying to say because the Hebrew, so he says, but Lashon HaKodesh is Lashon HaKi, don't switch it. He says, you don't see them switch any word but Erva. So, the opposite. Anyways, it's a very interesting in the Likutim, and that is a whole lot. This is like a long, this is not a short, this is a very long introduction. And this Rabbeinu Hananel was pointed out to me a long time ago, too. This guy writes a poem, it doesn't fit, right? It's like a rhyming poem, it has to fit with the word. Okay, that was an introduction. I think it's an important introduction because sometimes people try to, you know, change things. And the truth is, if you take a look, they asked this question to the Vilna Gaon. That's Vilna Gaon. He was not happy with changing. You don't change the Hebrew. He says, besides the Magen Avram, that's for every reason that Magen Avram gets a lot of, he quotes the Yamshel Shlomo, That apparently, if you take a look at the contemporary Achronim, that is actually the minority opinion. The vast, vast majority, despite what you might hear in Yeshiva Shach, say not to switch the name. And in fact, it might be even problematic to switch the name. That's the Vilna Gaon, this question. But switch, this is already an old thing about switching the name. It wasn't like necessarily that new. So even before the, shall we say, many people spoke modern day Hebrew, this is even going back a few hundred years, already had an idea to switch the name. They didn't. So forget the. Interesting. Okay, well, that's neither here nor there, but we will be referring to it as Masecha Beitza the entire time. That's the that's the Maskana. What was that?
And that's the upshot.
And that's the upshot. Exactly. So, okay, now let's begin. What I want to do this morning, with your permission, is I want to read a Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to run a little bit of a tangent dealing with other things, but I want to read the Mishnah, understand the Mishnah, and then together, we're going to ask you questions. We'll see how many we get to in terms of answering them. But that will be the primary function. Also, if you have tons in the week, focus on, obviously, the Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfot. Also, on this first Amud, because it'll take a very long time to get past this first Amud. Although, I want to do more of a faster pace than usual, because I think we need to. I want to get through. There's a couple of really important things good here in the beginning. I think it's worthwhile trying to get through them. So the pace won't be like last time. It'll be a little bit brisker. You get it? Okay. let's begin. So Beitza Shnola B'Yom Tov. So the Mishnah tells us a Beitza which is Shnola B'Yom Tov. Now let's translate literally. What does that mean? What's based on Hurdle Beyonce? What does that mean? How would you translate that into English?
An egg that is born on
the right, born on the other. Very odd word to use, right? You don't usually use the word nolad when it comes to an egg.
What do you use?
Right, so the word is latil betim is the word. Is that no? The question is latil betim is to have an egg. Now the question is what? Where's that from? That appears to be the modern word, latil beitzim. I don't believe that's a Mishnah word. It appears that the Mishnah still uses the word nola, despite the fact that we would never say an egg was born on Yom Tov. That would be very odd. We use the word hatched, right? We don't use the word born. The reason is, yeah.
Is it hatched or laid? You were talking about laid. Here, the egg was laid on Yom Tov, right? It wasn't hatched. Right? We would say born as in the egg hatched.
Oh, that's saying, a very good point. Sorry, you're right. We'd say laid an egg, right? You're right, not hatched. Hatched means the actual thing came out. Sorry, right? That is true. We laid an egg, right? Thank you. We would never say. Now, what's interesting is that remember, we also in Hebrew, we don't use the word nolad only for birth. Like Ela Todo Yaakov, that means genealogy. That's the same root word, right? A Valad, so the word Valad means
an offspring,
right? So we use the word much, the word Nolad or Leholid, we're much more fluid, shall we say. We use it in a much more expansive, even if you take a look at, there's an Av and there's a Tolada, right? You'd never say Av Malacha, and then you never use the term, you know, a child, right? Tolada, but it's the same root word, right? Derivative, or comes from, or so the truth is the Hebrew language, as we're discussing Hebrew language a little bit right before, so it is a little bit more, well, it is very precise. It's not, the word Leholid doesn't necessarily just mean to have a child, to give birth, as opposed to English would make that distinction. It's not true in Hebrew.
Also, you also have masculine and feminine, right? You have Leholid and, because of information times, where, like,
Holida.
Where, like, it says, like, Avram Yolid.
Avram Holida Yitzchak.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, so this egg, we'll use the English word. The egg was laid on Yom Tov. Now, what could be wrong? What's wrong with that? Is anything wrong with the Beitza being laid on Yom Tov?
Can you use it?
I do anything wrong. What I do? I didn't do anything.
The question is, can you use the egg?
Right.
The chicken did it.
I didn't do anything.
Okay.
What did I do? But I built the wall. I wrote. I didn't do anything. I'm Mac Pilot. It just yeah.
It wasn't like in your didn't exist to you for a young.
But that's a big chiddush. Think about it. Didn't it? So because it doesn't, right? It's very strange, you know. So here's something. I literally do nothing.
You caught an egg. You could have gathered an egg before Yom Tov.
Meaning, I could have gone an Erev Yom Tov.
All your eggs before Yom Tov. Why do you need to get one that you got on? It's not better on Yom Tov.
It's fresh.
I don't know if the eggs are better when they're fresh.
How do you know? You've never from the chickens.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It stays in the shell. And I don't think it's degrading.
That's actually very interesting. Is there a difference in quality between an egg that was laid yesterday, 24 hours later? I mean, we don't have. You can't get. I mean, definitely not in the modern world. You can't get like.
Yeah,
late today, eaten for dinner.
Yeah. If it was, it would be a delicacy. It's not.
I'm sure people do eat. People don't care about blood or not.
The thing about an egg is that the food's not aging inside because it's protected.
I showed
from
you. We watched a video, right, about eggs. I watched a video last year. Yeah, was it last year?
We did.
Was this year or last year?
No, it was this year.
Was this year? When did we do that?
We're talking about eggs.
Actually, we watch that video. You ever seen a video like modern day eggs? It's totally different than. Anyways, remember that. Like all of a sudden, we're talking about sounds very familiar. So the question is going to be, what's wrong with my egg? What's wrong with this egg? Why is it a question even? So here we go. Bet Shem Amrim. In fact, what does Bet Shem say?
Eat it.
Te'achel. Not tochel. Te'achel. That's the vowelization there, I believe. Te'achel. But Hillel says, no. Okay. So we see here, by the way, first of all, what jumps out at us right away?
Beit Shammai is
Make. Beit Shammai is Mako. Wow. Crazy, huh? Very few. There's an exception. Beit Shammai is Mako. Number one. Two. Now, what's the language of Te'achel?
He will eat it.
Te'achel. Now, is there a mitzvah to eat it? No, so it's not tochal, i.e. it's mitzvah. It's techel, it can't be eaten. No mitzvah. He has to be the mitzvah to eat the egg. Right? Techem in. Now, obviously, so the Mishnah is going to tangent, but the question is going to be, in this, our Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to figure it out. The Gemara will give four different answers on why can't you eat it. Here's something interesting. What, usually if the Mishnah says something, and there's a machloka. What language does the Mishnah usually use to say yay or nay?
Mater.
Very good. Why is it Mater Aser? But rather, it focuses on
eating.
So wouldn't that mean that neither of them hold that it's Aser?
Explain.
I mean, yeah, neither Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that it's explicitly usher to eat the egg, just that one says that it's better not to.
Okay, but it says lo techel. Is that like advice? Like Martha Stewart advice? Like, don't eat it?
Highly recommended not to.
So why doesn't it say asur?
So cool.
Because it's not usher. Must be.
There a banan, maybe?
So you want to say maybe Mina Torah, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that you can eat it. However, Lo Techel is telling you that Midrabanan, you shouldn't eat it. Okay, I mean, it wants to give us an impression, not Asur Mutar, which is maybe a stronger language. It wants to be a little bit softer. So Lo Techel is a, you know, don't eat it. Okay, we're not unclear. What else might it mean? By saying Lo Techel, what else could the Mishnah want to be telling us? Might be. We don't know yet. Why not say Asur Mutar? Why not?
Because then it's not only referring to eating, it's referring to a whole
day. Ooh, what about eat and don't eat? What about throw on my friend's head because he's annoying me?
Always ask.
Always ask, right? Right? What about to support a bed? What's it called? To support a chair or a table. Let's say they say that with an egg, if you balance it exactly, if you put pressure on the points at the top, even obviously not a hard boiled egg, even a soft boiled egg, it doesn't crack. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what that's true, some people say.
Yeah, well, you can't serve it. You can't explode it if you squeeze it.
That's the two top ends.
Okay.
I mean, I could crack an egg. I've done it before, a couple times.
Could you crack a hole in it and then pour oil in that hole and then?
Ooh, what about? Okay, what about if I was able to, let's say, put a hole in it, and then have the yolk leaf? Could I then use it for an oil? Use it for a candle holder? Use it for put oil in there, shemen in there? Mm-hmm. Right. So the question is, what about for other functions? So when I say lo teach. Does that also mean lo tishtamesh? Or is it just eating? If I were to say asur, what does asur usually imply? Everything. Though you can't use it to throw at your friend, and you can't use it to balance a table, and you can't use it to hold oil. Now, but if I say tachel, what about other usages of shimush? Unclear, right?
Yeah.
And the opposite is true. When you say tochal, teachel, does that mean also tishtamesh?
Not necessarily.
Now, here's my other question. What about something like good morning.
So not something like that. Four.
Perfect.
Thank you, Rosie. Okay. A bit more exciting than my granola bars. So we need to figure out why exactly did the Mishnah decide to use that language, right? Techel lo techel versus asur mutar. That's question number one. And is that could be showing drabanan? Is that showing what about other types of usage? Good, we have to figure that out. Because we asked the question, let's just pop your head over to Tosafot for a second, because he's going to use the same. Look at that first Tosafot there, Vim Tema. Everyone see the first Tosafot? Amai lo tano sinimutari. Oh my goodness, that's our question. Good question. Okay? Vechi Tema Osrin. If it would have said Osrin, Mashmasha Asr lit olam. If I see something as Asr, what does that maybe imply? Everything. Oh, very good. Take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Lo tochel, lo teachel. When can you eat it? What does Rashi say? Yom Tov. I eat what Motzi Yom Tov? It's permissible. So maybe by saying Asur, it's saying this is Asur forever in perpetuity. Which we know is not true. Yeah. Zo'eina. And so I know, but that's not true. This is not Asr forever. Everyone agrees. There's no. It's not. It's not like. It's not Chazer, right?
Isn't Daniel talking about that? This is not. That's not the answer. He's going to say.
Yeah, oh, no, he's going to reject that. Hold on. I'm just, you know. Okay. That's what it means, right? Usually, if you tell me the chitema usually means have me that, right? Not the maskana, right? The chitema mashmash asr zelolam v'nodam rinan lakaman efroach shenolad b'yom tov asr. A chickie that was hatched. There, I got my hatch correct this time. On Yom Tov is Asr. V'hainu b'yomo. So we, again, so the Havmina was by saying Asr Mutar, Asr would imply that it's Asr forever. We dismiss that Havmina because we see there's another case where the Mishnah uses the word Asr and it's not Asr forever. So therefore, go back to the original question, why not say Asr Mutar? Damrin Mutar Shemin Shabaner, Rabbi Huda Oser. Again, another example where we see the word Asr is used and it doesn't mean it's Asr forever, so we dismissed that Havmina, push it aside. It's good Havmina, rejecting it. V'yesh lomar, and usually now we're coming for a landing, right? De'i have tani osinu mutarin hayiti omer shema shemitirin habeitza hainu letiltu aval b'achila sura. If I would have said, right, maybe, if I would have said Asr Mutar, or in this case, just use our example, if I would have said it's permissible, Mutar, we would have thought maybe it's Mutar to move, but not to eat. Now, why would I think it's Mutar to move and not to eat?
They wanted to remove the eggs so they don't get fertilized by the, I don't know.
research or something like that, so you can save the egg.
Okay, okay. So take a look. So the Gemara says, you know, where does it get this from? I'm going to give you an example. V'ham rinan later on the Gemara gabi nochri echad shehevi dagim b'fnei Rabbi Yochan b'fnei Rabbi Gamliel v'ham mutarim him ela she'in ritzuan lekabel haimena u'mesik mai mutarim letiltu v'bachila asura. Meaning, the case, there's a case where a non-Jew brings fish to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel didn't want to eat them, i.e., but he permitted to move them. Now, why might that be so? Let me give you an example. Here. If I have a hammer, let's pretend I have a hammer. These are also not a bad example, car keys, and they're on a table. Am I allowed to move a hammer on a table on Shabbos? Yeah, right. So we know, and by the way, this would be a major discussion, different levels, not all moksos created equally. In fact, this is a much later moksa than Mitzera about klisha malacht. Maybe this is like a klisha machtol isur. If it's a klisha machtol isur, what can I? I'm allowed to move it, not for its sake, but for our space's sake.
Do you need a
shinoi? Nope. Pick up a hammer and move it, no problem. Off my bed. Or a pen off my bed. Right? So maybe that's what we're talking about here. Maybe we would say, according to Beis Hillel, when Beis Hillel says, maybe you're allowed to move it. Meaning, Beis Hillel says, you can't eat it. Okay, maybe I can move it. Right? No, even for tiltor is asur. The fish appears, the reed, the nakar ki hailishna, the stump beits ala chila kaima. Therefore, in because maybe I would conclude that by saying I could eat it, maybe it would be asur to move, right? Therefore, perush reed, the nakat. Why specifically the remission? So for all these havmias we dismissed. And what are we concluding? This time, beitza lachila kaima. Do you know why it says beitza shonda biyamtav techel techel? Because that's the usual function of a beitza steam. Don't be too smart and start telling me that eggs are used to throw on people and to support beds. Come on! That's where I like this Tosfot, because it starts off by like, you know what this is? Simple. Because that's 99.999% of people use eggs to eat. So therefore, what do I want to know? Can I eat it or not eat it? And that's a machloka. That's what I want to know, because that's what matters to me about eggs. Okay? Very simple. Stop being smart. And be practical. What?
They sound like, they're looking at this like, why are they even arguing?
Listen. Can you eat or not eat it? That's what we care about. That's what we care about eggs. Okay? So, I think they put eggs in like, how does they put eggs in shampoo or something? For like,
that's like do-yourself.
Do-yourself shampoo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But not
in your hair, it's like,
protein or something in the egg, but not real people.
No.
Okay, fine. So again, don't try to be so smart. Eggs are for eating. That's what I want. I wonder if I can eat it or not. That's why Beit Hillel says you cannot eat it. That's what Beit Shammah says. You can't eat it.
So,
done.
And therefore,
everything
else is
going to
be the same, so you can't
move. Right. The truth is, we didn't. The truth is, okay, that's nice, but we didn't really very good. What about moving? What about tilting? So, can you eat an egg without moving it? That's very difficult to do. Here's an egg. How in the world can you eat an egg without moving it? It's a, you know, I take a fork. What?
You're trying to eat it, moving it.
Right.
I'm trying to think. So the egg was just laid. Like you still have, you'd have to take it and cook it, and you know.
You can eat a raw egg, can you? Hot, it's good for your, isn't it good for your voice if you do that? No. Someone split this with me.
We already have had. Was it not cut?
Get a knife after me. Right?
You should
get a
check
out
the top, I guess.
Okay, let's pull it apart.
Oh, good call.
Right? What do you think? Can you eat an egg without moving it?
No.
Insert a straw? and just drink the yolk.
You're really pushing a far edge case here.
Hmm?
That's a really far edge case. Like,
right.
First of all, how would you make the hole without moving it?
So again,
might move it still.
In your stomach, if you say you're allowed to eat it, you're probably allowed to move it.
Right.
But here's my question. What about the reverse? By saying I can't eat it, does that mean I also can't move it?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
I mean, it could, but it depends on muksa. You would say it would probably fall in the category of muksa. Find what that muksa is.
Right. Okay. Right. How serious is this egg? How bad, quote unquote, is this egg? Right?
I mean, I would think it falls into the category of if you can't eat it, it has no purpose on Shabbos, so it's. Or Chag, so it's. You can move it, but it's not. It's not even you'd have to be, have the need to move it.
If you have no purpose for it,
right. then you can move it if you need to get to something that is.
That's anything.
Well, that's not anything.
So remember that.
Only
we're talking about food on Yom Tov. And the Hillel is saying you can't eat it. Even though it's food. Right? This is not Shabbos, people. This is Yom Tov. I mean, but the Mishnah tells us, what about Beitza Shinod of the Shabbos?
What are you going to do with an egg that's laid on Shabbos?
I mean, why is it that what's the bigger chiddush to say that you can't eat it on Shabbos or Yom Tov? What's the bigger chiddush? You can't eat it on Shabbos or Yom Tov? You can't eat it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Oh, it's bigger chiddush, right? Why?
Because on Yom Tov you can still cook.
I can cook on Yom Tov. There'd be another reason why I'd be there's a bigger chiddush to say it by Yom Tov. You'll see that. You'll see that eventually. But so. Okay. So we are unsure about its status, about others from eating, unclear. At least according by fact that we can't eat it. What about moving it or using it for something else? We're not so sure. But if you figure out what love moksa it is, okay. Yeah.
What do they consider an unhatched egg food?
Sorry?
What do they consider an unhatched egg food?
They don't? Why? It's food. Why isn't it food?
I assume they do. I don't know, like an egg.
Eggs.
You have to crack, I don't know, you have to crack it and
you peel it off.
Process.
Well, so here's my question. In the old world, were raw eggs more common? Like, I would never have raw egg today.
Mayonnaise? A normal thing for people to
eat. Did people have raw eggs in the old days?
I mean, mayonnaise is raw eggs.
That's an ingredient.
A lot of cakes, a lot of things.
Yeah, but mayonnaise is not cooked.
I don't know the answer to that. Was it a more common delicacy in the old days?
You can add it on things.
Right.
That's cooked. That's a cooked egg, though.
It doesn't taste like it's cooked.
I don't know. I don't know
the answer. It's a very good question. But it's still a food item. You're saying the average person doesn't eat it.
Have you ever seen someone eat a raw egg?
I don't know. They say that a chazan does. No, isn't what a chazan does before he doesn't know what a chazan does?
But he's not right? Eating it for food.
Rocky, right?
But he's not eating it for food.
Movies, right? You know, they have right?
Eating it for food.
Yeah. Oh, what's he having for, like, medicine?
No, it's like protein.
Protein. It's not food? It's not food? You don't get bracha on it?
You don't get out of it.
You make a bracha?
It's the same thing as the person who has the teaspoon of olive oil for his throat. It's not food.
I don't know. I think an egg is more food-like.
You're not eating for the sake of eating. You're eating just for the sauce and protein, I guess.
Not for the enjoyment of, like...
I don't know. Improves my... I don't know. Who does this in a way that... I don't know. Let me ask that question. Let's move on. Not so sure. Let's just finish off this test since we started. Oh, yes. So first answer is, guys, it's about eating. Don't start being smart on me. Does it really? Could you look it up? Was it more common to eat a raw egg in the old days? When you didn't have, like, Sobeys? So you ate raw eggs? Mm. I'm actually, I really don't know the answer. Vodi Yish Lomar, you see that one? Tanaka Lebet Shammai Techa Mishun De Mashma Achila V'Tiltul Achila V'Tiltul De'Ein Achila B'Lotiltul. So, someone on Bet Shammai says, very simple, I'll tell you why I say Lo Techel. Because when I say Lo Techel, it also means Lo Letaltel. Because how in the world are you going to eat it without moving it? How are you going to, right? We said, is that even possible? So, Tosin is basically impossible. Ubet Hillel Asrei, why? Av Betilto. Because by saying Lo Techel, it means you can't move it. So, why does, because once Bet Shammai is using the language of Te'achel, because i.e. you can eat it, nin-nin-nin, which means you can move it. So Bechelo uses the same language because that's parallel structure to Mishnah. Okay, that's a dozen. Okay, let's move on. So that's now what's going to happen now in our Mishnah. It's going to go on a slight tangent. It's going to bring a few other examples of cases of Bechelo and Bet Shammai that are like tangentially related to Yom Tov. Okay, so what does he say here? Bet Shammai Omrim. Soor Shiva Kazayit. So what is Soor?
Barley.
Better translation than Soor. Better translation for Soor. That's Soora. Chitan Soora. Not his name is Soor. A better example of Seor, look at over there. Look what he uses there. Yeah. Leaven. Leaven is a kol Seor lo techel. You're not allowed to use any leavening agent in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? It's Seor is what makes something usher from chametz. It's machmetzet. Right? It makes something leaven. So how much of the leaven is aser? So by so, now, by the way, you don't eat it. It's not edible, but it's so chametz.
It's on Pesach?
Yeah, on Pesach. So sh'or is based on a kazayit. That's how much you need to violate the isur toraisa of bay rabbi matzeh. Ubechametz is be'kakotavet. By, however, the amount of chametz is aser is not the size of an olive, but the size of a date, including the seeds. Not including the seeds. That's just too technical for now.
Isn't that bigger or smaller?
Bigger. Mm-hmm. Next, most dates are bigger than olives.
Yeah, but the
olives
back then, they were huge.
Right, that's true. Ubehilomrim, But Hillel says, no, they're both by kazayit. So we see here again, but Hillel is more machmer because he used the smaller size for both. Whereas Bet Shammai, next, Hashochet Chaya Ve'Of B'Yom Tov. If you shecht a Chaya or an Of, what's between a Chaya and an Of? What's a Chaya and what's an Of? What's a Chaya and what's an Of? Okay, so what's an example of a Chaya?
A deer.
A deer, good. And what's an example of an Of?
Yeah?
So, any bird, okay. Yeah. Now, on Yom Tov, but Shomer Amrim, Yachpor, Bezakar V'Yachaseh. Okay, let me explain. There's a mitzvah of Kisui Adam. We have a biblical mitzvah of Kisui Adam, but Kisui Adam in the Torah only applies to an Achai Rav, not a Behema. We do Kisui Adam with a Behema, we don't get brach on it. What's a Behema? A cow.
Is that the Safek, or what do they do that for?
Derbanan, I think. Okay. But if I have my deer, I need to do Kisui Adam. But here's the problem. How do I do Kisui Adam? What do I cover it with?
Some dirt.
Yeah, it's like soil, right?
What?
It's like whatever's on the ground.
It's on the ground. But here's the problem. It's Yom Tov. How am I going to get dirt or ground on the ground to cover it with? That's the problem. So that's this case. Take a shovel on Yom, this is on Yom Tov, people, and once you do the blood, cover it. V'chaseh. The Gemara says, you're not shechting. Talk about machshir al chanefesh, right? You need machshirei av kisur adam. Maybe it's not machshir kisur adam. It probably is kisur adam. But how are you going to shecht and not cover the blood? You got to cover the blood. But here's the problem. I have nothing to cover the blood with. Answer? Don't shecht. That's a big chiddush, right? Don't shecht. What? No fresh chickens for Yontov, right? Right? However, no. But everyone agrees if you shecht it, you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't prepare, then you're allowed to. Meaning, you should have prepared it in advance. But the evidence, if you didn't prepare in advance, then you're okay. But Behillel says to pick up the knife and the shecht without having prepared, don't shecht. If you thought you prepared, right? BJ, right? I'm going to shecht. I know BJ for sure prepared yesterday. He does it every week. I was like, shecht. He's like, oh my goodness, I forgot. I had an appointment. I wasn't feeling well. I had to go to the airport. Whatever it is, forgot to do it. Okay, I shecht already. I'd be allowed to. We could continue. Meaning, don't leave the blood there. You have to take care of it. Even if it means kitzuri, shoveling and getting the dirt. Okay. That's off topic. That's off topic. And the mission ends. Why? Shafar Kira Muchanu. Says the mission. You know what you should cover it with? Take from your stove. Coal and charcoal from your stove. And Muchan. Interesting. What does Muchan mean? Right, exactly. That it appears that it's already been prepared from ahead of time. Now, why is that? Is that's really off topic, and it's quite important. But I don't want to deal with it now. Okay. So here we go. What's very odd about this Mishnah is that, like, the first line is packed in there with the whole egg, and then it brings other issues of Yom Tov that aren't necessarily even connected, right? It's more of a Shama Behila than anything else. The end deals back with our case of Muchan, and is it prepared, is it not prepared, is it Muksa? But that it's interesting that it goes a bit of a tangent in the middle. Okay, fine. That's anything else I want to deal with in this Mishnah? I don't believe so. Right. That's the see, Tosfos himself is like, why are we talking about Seor? And he says, right, Lo Shachacha, why are you dealing with this here? Midi Ela Maitikan Tlat Mile Gabi Yom Tov. We're talking about three things to do with Yom Tov. Abed Hilas Machmir Beshamas Kula. So that's really what this Mishnah then continues in with, is the Chumras and Kulas of what you don't usually see, of the Kulas of Bet Shammai versus Behilo. So in the area of Yom Tov, so it just listed the other ones as well. That's why they're in the Mishnah. Okay, fine. Otherwise, like, what will do the other? Okay, so here we go. Let's begin our Gemara. Any comments, thoughts so far? Back to our Beis Hashem Tov B'Yom Tov. Here we go. Gemara. B'Mai Eskira. The Gemara needs to ask a question. What in the world are we dealing with? Okay, so before we see the Gemara inside, let's talk outside. There are two types of chickens. Why would you have a chicken? Function A, function B. To eat?
Produce eggs.
And produce eggs. Now, you'd never want to get those mixed up. Right? Because to shecht a chicken that I need to produce eggs is potentially cutting off my livelihood. I make money off of eggs, and now I've shechted my chicken, then I'm in big trouble. Now, we know in the modern era that we don't do this anymore. Meaning, we do this to an extreme, I would say, is that we grow chickens, and these eggs will never come fertilized. In terms of producing eggs, it's done en masse, in a very concentrated, guided, systematic way, as we saw in that video way back when. Right? You never, as opposed to the shechting, first of all, you feed them differently, you grow them differently, there are totally different ways of dealing with chickens that you're going to shecht to eat versus chickens that are going to produce eggs. Totally different. I imagine, though, even the times of Chazal, they still did different things, right? Depending on your industry, depending on your business, and supply and demand, eggs has a value and chicken has a value, and you needed to kind of figure out what made the most sense for you from a business perspective. So my question is, if I have this chicken, and in my mind this chicken is used for its eggs, would that impact, in your opinion, beitza shenolda biyadav? Versus, I had a chicken, it's for shechita, I'm going to shecht it, I'm having it for lunch tomorrow. All of a sudden, I just laid an egg. It was planning on being lunch or dinner, and I just laid an egg. Do you think there's a difference in the two different types of chickens? Between one that was going to produce an egg versus one that was going to be shechted at some point. What do you think?
Yes.
Why?
Because the egg-laying chicken.
The egg-laying chicken, yeah.
That was a chicken which contained an egg.
And you knew it did.
And then the egg just happened to come out on Yom Tov. Whereas...
And therefore?
Therefore, it was already an egg. But now it's happened. Now it's just out of the chicken, so that's all good. So it's going to be fine. But the other one, it's a chicken, and there's no egg. It happens to be an egg kind of pops into existence when it leaves the chicken. That's going to be a problem.
Chicken's going to lay eggs either way.
Yes, I agree.
At the same rate.
Well, yeah, pretty much, but I still...
But meaning here's my question. If I'm going to... here's my chicken. This is a good chicken. Here's my chicken. I'm going to shech the chicken for dinner. I'm like, I don't mind for chicken. I'm going to shech it tomorrow for lunch. Tomorrow morning, when I go to shech the chicken for lunch on Yom Tov, I see he just laid an egg. Says Beit Hillel, that egg that was laid, lo tachel.
Could he have eaten it had you shechted the night before and found the egg inside?
If I would have shechted it last night, the egg would have been inside. Can I eat the egg?
Does that work?
Why not?
Why not?
When you shecht an animal, why can't you eat anything inside the animal?
If I shecht the chicken, why can't I eat the egg? Right. The egg is just part of the chicken.
Does it have to do with the knowledge of one of them? You knew what it was.
What did I know?
Well, the egg-laying chicken, you knew it was going to lay an egg, so it's not a surprise. But the other one is a surprise. So
chickens lay eggs.
You weren't expecting that egg to come out.
What egg, and the expectation matters.
For the sake of
You're saying I know that egg is. I'm a chicken expert guy.
I have intention of using it or something.
So I go Tuesday night. Yom Tov is Wednesday, right? I go Tuesday night. Fresh chicken. Take them out. I see this, and I see. Oh, it's a little fatter than normal. It's a little irritated. You know what? Why should I shecht it now? I'll shecht it tomorrow morning. Maybe I'll even get an egg out of it, which I can then cook. Better idea. I'll make eggs for breakfast. It'll lay an egg. I'll make it for breakfast. And then I'll kill it and I'll eat it for lunch. But right, that's my so now I don't eat it at night, and I'll come the day I see it lays an egg, I grab the egg, and then what I do an hour later, I shecht it for lunch. I know. Why would it matter what type of egg it is? What type of chicken it is?
Well, maybe in that case we call it an egg laying chicken.
Why am I raising it?
Main function.
So my main function, I want to eat it for dinner. I want to eat it. That's my intent. Right? I'm raising it to eat. Now all of a sudden I see it lays an egg. Is that egg going, do you think, in your opinion, does it matter if the egg comes from an egg laid chicken versus a eating chicken? Egg? Does that matter at all, or you think this is a blanket thing? When Beit Shammai says Te Achel, it doesn't matter what type of chicken it was. It doesn't matter if the chicken was brought up to be dinner or to lay an egg. No difference, no impact. And Beit Hillel, maybe when Beit Hillel says Lo Te Achel, it doesn't matter the type of chicken. Totally irrelevant. Or do you think it matters?
Yeah,
And why? You don't think it matters. Josh, why not? Why do you think it matters?
Because the chicken's going to lay an egg. You can more or less approximate from the last time it laid an egg when it's going to lay an egg. So,
how often does the chicken lay an egg?
Pretty.
Is it every day? Every other day? Has an off day. It's like on day, off day, on day, off day.
Do you often Google that? Often the chicken.
Oh, so here's the problem though. Is it? You have to find out in the wild.
The chicken nowadays probably.
Nowadays it may matter more than it did back then.
Say that things are fairly. I don't think we're showing anything. But yeah, I'm curious what Google says. Would you say how often the chicken lay an egg? What's so hard to find?
Because apparently it's not static, depending on the type of chicken.
Oh, it's so complicated.
And because now we breed specific chickens,
right.
So the way we breed them now also has changed that answer. One cycle may last for 12 days or as long as a year.
What was that? What did you say?
It could be anywhere from 12 days to a year.
What? So where's the next egg?
Most eggs take 25 to 26 hours to produce one egg.
Okay, every day.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought it was every day.
Daylight.
No, what'd you find, BJ?
Yeah.
Every day?
Yeah, I didn't Google it yet.
It's not such a straightforward answer. When you
not straightforward.
But it seems that chickens lay eggs frequently.
Frequently. So the fact that... So I know walking in... When I walk into my chicken coop, the chance of me finding an egg and I have an egg-laying chicken are pretty good. Right, but yeah. So the question is, does it matter what type of chicken I have? Okay, it's now 11 o'clock, so we're not going to get any further. I want to think about this question a little bit. Does it matter what type of chicken I have? Should it matter? Does it matter? Has it impacted my egg? Does it impact it at all? Maybe totally irrelevant. The mission doesn't need to make any distinction at all. We're going to see if it matters. But I guess for that, we're going to have to see God willing the Gemara next week. As well as Rashi in particular. And while we're at it, if you have time, I'd recommend seeing the Tosfos on the sugya as well. Definitely worthwhile. And then from there, we'll go further. Okay, thanks, guys. Think about the question for the week. Does it matter the type of chicken? Do chickens matter? Chicken lives matter.